I want to share with you a message this morning entitled The Power of God's Grace. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And as we prepare to go into God's Word this morning, I want to invite you just to pray with me just for a moment, to pray with me and to ask the Lord just to do what He wants in our hearts. God is doing some neat things, really neat things, and we need to let the Lord continue to move in our midst and just to say, God, whatever You want to do, change me. Change me. I was sharing Wednesday night that one of the things that we need in our life for us to continue to grow is to be changeable. How many of y'all are willing to change? And some are just so set in their ways that I'm not going to change, I'm not going to change. And I'll tell you what, if you don't change, you won't grow. Show me somebody that refuses to change and I'll show you someone that's not growing anymore. And we need to grow in the things of the Lord. How many of y'all want more change in your life? Amen? So let's pray right now. Let's just invite the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we do come to You in the name of Jesus. And as we approach this topic, this subject of grace, and Your marvelous grace, Your wonderful grace, Your amazing grace, we ask You to speak to our hearts. And we welcome change in our life. Lord, we don't want to be the same as we've always been. We want more change, but we realize we need You, God. So we welcome that in the name of Jesus, and we thank You for it. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So this morning, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to follow along with me in your scriptures. And then also, if you have something to write with, it's always a good practice to have a pen and paper in hand, because I'll tell you what, sometimes you'll hear something in your spirit that you want to remember. Doesn't have to be necessarily something I'm saying, or maybe something that's written up there, but it can be something that God is just stirring in your heart, putting in your heart, that you want to remember it. And what I've got to remind you is that we have a tendency, because of our nature, you know, we have a tendency, we forget things. How many of y'all find that you can forget things real easy? All right? I promise you, most people here will forget about what we spoke about this morning before the night comes, and even before then, and certainly by tomorrow. But to be able to jot down something that you heard in your spirit about what the Lord spoke to your heart, because this morning I want to share with you about God's grace and the necessity that we have for His grace. There's this is another scripture. I had it just a moment ago, but a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9. And this is one of my mom's favorite verses. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. That speaks of grace. Grace for all sufficiency in all things, in all times, may abound for every good work. And what I want to share with you this morning in regards to God's grace, I know we have a handle in God's grace for salvation, God's grace for forgiveness, God's grace for deliverance. I know we have a handle on God's grace, unmerited favor, God's grace that it's free. How many of y'all are thankful to know that salvation is free? I believe that we all have a handle of knowing that, you know what, we don't work our way into salvation. It's not a matter of how many good things that we've done that gets us to heaven. See, if you ever have a tendency of thinking, I hope I get to heaven because of the things I did, then you're off track. Because it's not because of what we've done. It's because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And that's God's grace. The Lord Jesus shed His blood. The Lord Jesus forgives us of our sins. We don't deserve it. Does anybody here say, well, Pastor Dan, if you only knew my life, I'm such a great person. I really do deserve it. I really do deserve it. And I'm telling you, people that think that way, they already blew it. Because we all have our hidden crevices. We all have our dark areas. Yes or no? I mean, y'all help me out now, because if there's someone here that says, well, Pastor, I don't have any dark crevices, I don't have any hidden things, I'm just as clean as can be, then I'll let you come up here and take my place, please, because I'll sit down and listen to you. But we all have it. But we understand when we come to the Lord, He gives us a new nature. He makes us a new creature. He makes us a new person. How many of y'all glad to find that out? So there's grace for salvation. There's grace for forgiveness. But there's also grace for Christian living. There's grace for holy living. See, so many times we kind of wash that out and we accept it that nobody can ever be holy like that. Nobody can. But why would the apostles, why would the scripture say, be holy, even as my Father in heaven is holy? And we just kind of wash it out and we just kind of put it aside and we say, well, it's never going to be. And God's grace, a lot of times we look at God's grace as, well, he gives us grace, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, if I blow it, I got grace. And you know what? If we blow it, he does forgive us. But it doesn't lead us to a place of just saying, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about it anymore because, you know, no. God gives us grace for power living. God gives us grace for holy living. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and here it is, all right? Look what he says. And again, this is the Apostle Peter, and he's sharing scripture to those believers that are going through difficult times. Any of y'all been going through difficult times? These were going through persecution, all right? Now look what he says. May God give you more and more grace. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Now take a look at that, all right? Let that kind of sink into you. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Now, will you accept that? Some won't because they love too much holding on to the other. But God will give us everything we need for living a godly life or a holy life. Now, remember, holy means separate unto him. Holy understanding, again, we belong to him. We're his. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm not to live like this world. I'm to live different from that. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Now that's a prayer right there. When you're praying for things to be on earth like it is in heaven, how many of y'all would like things to be in Mesquite like it is in heaven? Or to be in your home like it is in heaven? Or to be in your, see all these things. And he says, we have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who has called us unto himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We need of you, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask you for revelation. I ask you to speak to our hearts. Help us to get a handle. Lord, that when you read your word, that it just comes off the pages. It just comes off the walls. It just comes off the screen right into our heart. And we welcome that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So then here, and I may be, was that you or me? Okay. Grace makes available three key ingredients for Christian living. Let's go ahead and go to the next one, okay? Grace makes available three things, okay? So I'm going to use three different words interchangeably. Okay, and they can basically mean the same thing, but I want you to see a difference in them because one word is the ability. Another word is the capacity. And the other word is strength. Ability, capacity, and strength. And they all go hand in hand with power. You know, there's one thing I desire more and more. I want more power. More of the power of the Lord to live that Christian walk. To see what the Lord wants to do. And it's available to us today, all right? So here it is. Grace gives us the ability we didn't have before to live for Christ. All right? How so? Look, with the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do. Now, this is in the New Testament. It's in the book of Ephesians. But here he's telling us a certain way that we need to be living. Some people think, well, you know, Christianity, it's not do's and don'ts anymore. It's not laws. It's not rules. Let me remind you, Jesus came not to do away with the law, not to do away with the commandments. He came to fulfill the commandments. Isn't that right? With everyone he gave to us and showed us, he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you that if you even look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Man, I mean, talk about making it tougher. Talk about making it tougher. That he's saying, you don't have to go, it's not just going to bed with her. If you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus says that. So we begin to think, oh, well, who could ever live up to that? How can we ever do that? Well, why would Jesus even put that down if he didn't think that we could do it? That's why even in the Old Testament, it reminds us, make a covenant with your eyes. Isn't that right? Make a covenant with your eyes of what you see, because you're in control of that. So here it says, don't live like the Gentiles. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. How many of y'all realize we're living in a society that's hopelessly confused? Okay? I mean, it's real. This past week, I was watching Fox News, and they were showing a neighborhood meeting, you know, a town hall meeting. And they were having this town hall meeting the way they've done it for years, starting it with prayer. And so here they are, they're getting together in their town hall meeting, and let us pray. And so as soon as they say, let us pray, then all of a sudden, like never before, voices started coming up from the audience. Wait a minute, wait, you can't pray. We can't pray. Separation of church and state. You can't pray. You see? People that have been planted already. They're planted in there to disrupt and to bring confusion. Can I tell you it's happening? And we're going to be challenged more and more in our lives that we will not compromise. We will not compromise. So many things coming into our homes trying to lead us into living by compromise. You compromise one thing, you compromise another. He says, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. They have no sense of shame. This is the Bible, okay? This is the New Testament. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Put on your new nature. You see that? Put on. Now, the question I want to get, how do you put on your new nature? I can give you a real quick short. It's by faith. How did you receive Jesus Christ? By faith. You know, in Ephesians, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. It requires faith. You put on the new nature. The new nature is the new person that you are now in Christ, to live the way Christ wants you to live. Do you believe that there's a way that Christ wants you to live, or you just live your life the way you want? There really is a way that Christ wants us to live. And we're to allow, and guess what? He lives in you. When you receive Christ, he's in you to help live through you the life that you're to live. Look, it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Ephesians 4, 17, 19, and 24. So then if I ask the question, how do you put on the new nature? I want you to write this down, if you will, in regards to putting on the new nature. Humble yourself. Humble yourself by believing and yielding. Three words there. Humble, believe, and yield. Humble, believe, and yield. How does that relate to me? Well, humbling, in coming to the Lord with humility, you're coming to that place once again where you say, I depend totally upon you, God. I can't make it without you. I need you, God. Truly, that's the way we should begin every day. That our life should be so filled with that, that we realize, without him, I can't make it. Yes. Now, that's a dependence on him. I humble myself in believing and yielding. Now, believing is going to lead you to action. We read the word where it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. All right? So, with the mouth we confess, with the heart we believe. We believe, and it leads to action. You're going to do something about it. Okay? So, we're still talking about putting on the new nature. Put on your new nature. So there's humble, and then there's believing. And what was the third word I gave you? Yielding. So important. Yielding. You know what yielding is? Giving in. You know what yielding is? Surrendering. Yielding is, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it your way and not my way. Yours is the way, Lord. I'll do it your way. So you're putting on this new nature. Do you get it? Let me tell you, that's where the battle is every day. And then we begin to accept, nobody can live a holy life. Nobody can live a life like that. How can we do that? So we give up. We throw up our arms. We give up. And we say we can't do it. But the apostles taught to do it. Yeah. And we cannot just throw that out. Now you remember, we were given the law in the Old Testament. The Bible reading this week for the Torah was in Exodus chapter 21, 22, 23, 24. And it gives a lot of laws there. And can I tell you, the law is made for the lawless. It's created for the lawless. And they're good guidelines, they're good directions, but the lawless need the law. But he gives us grace to fulfill the law, to complete it. So then here, we see that we have humbling ourselves, believing, and yielding, and giving ourselves to him. Let me give it to you with this illustration, okay, real quick. Whenever you're driving your car, and all of us drive, right? You're out there driving, and you see your gauge starting to go towards empty. What do? You know you better find yourself a gas station. Isn't that right? Or you're going to wind up walking. Because you need fuel. Now, that's happened to me. I've run out of gas before. There was a time when my gauge wasn't working. I was trying to keep up with it with mileage, and then I blew it. I don't know how many of y'all have ever done that, trying to keep up with it, mileage, and I blew it. And one morning, I was on my way to church for early morning prayer. It was 5:30 in the morning. And guess who I had to call to get me some help? And I was on my way, and boy, and here she comes, and she brought the gas tank so I could fill it up. You realize when the gauge starts going towards E, now listen, you have to humble yourself, you have to believe, and you have to yield. You got to humble yourself, and you got to believe, you have an understanding, if I don't go get that gas, I'm going to be walking. And you have to give in to go get some gas. That gas is the fuel. You need fuel. If you don't have the fuel to make that car run, you're stuck. Can I tell you, you need fuel. The fuel of the grace of God. God's grace that empowers us, gives us the ability. We need that fuel. And so we humble ourselves. I can't make it without that gas. I'm going to need some gas. Why is it that we go get some gas so easily, but we don't go to his word so easily, or we don't go to prayer so easily, or we don't come to him so easily? And I'm right here again, Lord, and I need you. We fill up that tank so easily, but filling up this tank, filling up ourselves regularly that we need you, you know why? Because we think we can make it on our own. And because we think we can make it on our own, that's not going to work with your gas tank. That's not going to work with your car. If you think, I know the gauge is going down to empty, but I think I can make it on my own. Well, yeah, just keep driving your car on your own and watch that needle continue to go, and then watch that, and it stops. Because you thought you could make it on your own. But we realize, I can't make it on my own. You see that gauge going down. There has to be an inner knowing, I better get back with the Lord continually. I'm talking, this grace has to be coming and coming and coming, all right? With the Lord's authority, all right? Now let's go to number two. Here's number two. Grace gives us, was that you or me? Was that me? That was you? Yeah. Grace gives us the capacity we didn't have before to live for him. His grace, now this is what I want you to understand. His grace is not a one-time thing, but it's a continual thing. We just got through talking about the example about the fuel in the car and you need it. It's a continual thing. It's every day. But we need that grace to give us the capacity. That word capacity means, it's talking about, what is your potential? How much can you handle? We get challenged sometimes, don't we? Of thinking, how much can we handle? How far can we go? And the Lord gives us principles, and he shows us things about rest, and we need to take rest and that type of thing. But again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that says, more grace. He says, I give you more and more grace and peace, that it will be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace for what? Grace for whatever comes your way. Do you remember the story of Jesus when he was already at the Garden of Gethsemane? And you remember that. They had already come through the upper room. They had already celebrated the Passover. They had the first initial communion, the first initial Lord's Supper. He gave them of the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you." He gave them of the cup. "This is the cup of the new covenant for the remission of sins." And then they left with a hymn. And where were they going? They were tracking down a trail down the valley. And they were tracking down a trail down the valley and going to through that valley, going to the Mount of Olives, which was Jesus' favorite place. It was his favorite spot to pray. Do you have a favorite spot you like to go pray? If you don't, get you one. Because we need to learn to spend time with the Lord. He went to that place and it was his favorite spot to meet with his Father and to pray. Now, I have to tell you, if Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is God, if Jesus needed to find time to pray and find himself in a place of prayer, how much do we need that? How much more do we need that? That we need to find that time. Jesus would do it early in the morning. Jesus would do it late in the evening. And Jesus would do it from place to place, time to time. During the day, he would spend time with the Lord in prayer. We are reminded in the Word of God, you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And what does that mean? I don't believe it means that we just pray all the time and never stopping. Can you imagine that? Hey, Ricky Joe, how you doing? And Lord, I don't know. No, we have conversation, we talk. But I do believe it means that we have constant communion with him. Constant communion that we give the Lord. We give the Lord that right to interrupt us anytime. That God, you can talk to me anytime. It may not make you feel comfortable, but I tell you, it's the best thing you can do. It really is. That you spend time with the Father. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells his three favorites, remember his disciples, the close ones with him? Peter, James, and John. "Y'all stay over there. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to pray." He came back three times finding them asleep. Right? The third time he came, he just said, "Go ahead and sleep on. They're coming for me. They're coming for me." Three times they came. One of those times, hey, the flesh is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Jesus was praying, "Father," what did he pray? "Father," what did he pray? "If it be thy will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. If it be thy will, take this suffering from me. Take this from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done." He was praying, and the Father released grace. He was able to go through the rest of that whole time. Think about it. The punishing, the mocking, everything that went all the way to the cross, all the way to his last breath, and he was able to do it. "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." 2 Peter 1:2, "May God give you more and more grace as you grow in your knowledge of God." How many of y'all are growing in your knowledge of God? Amen? You're getting to know him more and more, all about who he is. That's the way it was with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they were knowing him as Jireh, provider. They were knowing him as healer, Rapha. They were knowing him as Sitkanu. They're all these things, getting to know him more and more. Here's number three. This is the final one, okay? Woo, there it is. Grace gives us the strength. So we've used three words and they're interchangeable. They can mean basically the same thing, but I'm just kind of using them here because I want you to know he does give us the strength. He does give us the ability. He does give us the capacity. He gives us for holy living. All right? So here it is. He gives us the strength we didn't have before to live for him. Now, when I say we didn't have before, I'm talking about before you came to Christ, before you received the Lord, because now it's available to you. And he has it there for you. All right? And because of that, again, he says, don't live like the Gentiles. Don't live. And we've heard maybe many times, you know, Christianity is not about a bunch of do's or don'ts. Well, take a look again. There's a bunch of don'ts in the New Testament. Isn't there? You know? There's some don'ts in there, and there's some restrictions, and there's some instructions about how to walk our Christian walk. And he says, don't be like the world. You're to be different because we are a part of him. So he says here, and this is Ephesians 4, 25 to 29. So stop telling lies. Stop telling lies. Apparently there was that, you know, he had to write that down. That's his letter to the church at Ephesus. The church has started out so much on fire. Then on this, he's given them a warning. And by the time he gets to Revelations, he's telling them, you've lost your first love. It's the same church. First they started out on fire. Then they were getting a little cold. And Paul is telling them, get it straightened out. And then by the time we get to Revelations, Jesus is saying, you've lost your first love. Repent and return to the first works. Remember in Revelations? Well, here, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. You remember I mentioned last week about how Matthew 28 in the Great Commission. Again, the Lord is saying, all authority has been given unto me. Jesus said that. And then we ask the question, well, that how much authority does that leave the devil? How much authority does that leave the devil? Well, if he has it all, it leaves the devil zero authority except for what you give him. Except for the authority you give him. So he's saying, and this is one of the ways right here. Look, it says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold. So he says, if you're angry and you don't deal with it, then you're giving him some jurisdiction. You're giving him some authority. He's coming in. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. For anger gives a foothold to the devil, and if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul, abusive language. See, those are all real things. Some people, you know, well, I believe God understands. He understands if I use foul, abusive language. Well, since when? How does that happen, that he understands? Did he go back on his word, that he really doesn't mean this anymore, and it's okay? You know, you use a foul, abusive language, that's okay. The word is still the word. You know, even Brother Tom, he quoted out of Hebrews about he doesn't change. God doesn't change. So if there's, that's the whole problem too, because a lot of people in our society, in the humanistic nature, they believe that the word is evolving. The word of God is evolving. It doesn't mean exactly what it meant back then. That's why they're saying homosexuals can get married now. Doesn't mean exactly what it meant back then, because it really didn't understand about all the changes that we would go through. That we would go through the changes of having so much foul language all around us, he understands. They're reading something different than I am. Because I still believe we take the word as the truth for what it is. Don't use foul, abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. So there's changes that he speaks of that can come about in our lives. That we overcome, not compromising, all right? And we are living in a time that it's easy to compromise. That we overcome not compromising God's word. And the apostles gave us commands leading to godly behavior. Don't undersell God's grace. It's available. How many of us have ever felt, man, who can live that kind of a life? Who can really do that? Who can really achieve all that to be like one of those great Christians? Every one of us that have received the Lord. Every one of us. Not putting the pressure on us, but allowing his grace to work in us. By humbling, by believing, and by yielding. I really believe it. By understanding, I depend on you, God. I can't do this. You're going to have to do it through me. Believing, just the same way you believe to accept Christ, and yielding, I give myself to you. Don't undersell God's grace. His grace gives us the strength for godly behavior. Friday, Stephanie had surgery, and I told him I wanted to use this because it really touched my heart greatly. But she had surgery over at Baylor Hospital, and we went over there for her day surgery, and she was out by that evening. And as we were in one of those cubicle rooms with the curtains, you know, the pre-op rooms that they take you to, and they kind of take you, you were probably in one of those same rooms, Bob, that we've been over there before at Baylor, and one of those pre-op rooms with the curtains, and you just, that's your own little cubicle, and they're setting you up. The big thing they had with her, they were trying to find a vein, her vein in the right place. They were sticking, and she's, oh, you know, and some of you have been there, done that. But then the doctor came in. I just kind of stepped out for a little bit, and here comes this person saying, I'm the doctor, and just said, hello, Stephanie, hello, doctor, and then I knew the doctor was there, so I kind of made my way back in there, and I walked in there, and here was this, it was a woman doctor, African-American, 6'1", and I walked in by the curtain. I want to see who the doctor is, you know. Hi. You know what I'm saying? You know? And real sweet lady. They call her Dr. O. And she's brilliant. She went to Stanford, and she's also had her practice in Orlando, Florida, and she's moved here. She's brilliant. And she says to Stephanie, before we go into the operating room, can I have prayer for you right now? Now, I got to ask you, in all the years that I've been going to operations, surgeries, in all the years, and that's a lot of years, I've never one time, not even my cousin who's a doctor or my uncle who's a, not even my cousin who's a surgeon, my uncle who's a surgeon, that's the first time I've ever heard a doctor saying, before we roll you, before we take you over to the, I'd like to pray for you. Would that be okay? So then here I am, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I wonder what kind of prayer this is going to be. This is going to be interesting. So let's pray, you know. And that's my, you know, your curiosity. Because, you know, I mean, we live in a time. Some pray to Allah, you know. Some pray to, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so let's pray. And she's praying. And dear Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and we thank you for this day and for this surgery, Lord. We just ask you, and here she's praying. And then she's finishing her praying. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, and I, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, wow, you know. I've already invited her to come to our church sometime and share with us. She said, sure, I will. And I'm hoping she'll come. But why do I share this? That's grace. That's God's grace. Moving freely. Don't inhibit God's grace. Don't limit God's grace. Let His grace flow so freely in you. Grace is not just a one-time thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He is with us. And He says, grace I've given you, all sufficient for all things. It's grace. Because we're so limited. He gives us the ability, He gives us the capacity, and He gives us the strength. And you know what? I want more. So that's where I'm closing this morning. How many of y'all want more? I want all I can get. And I'm talking about His presence. I need His. Can I tell you, if you want more of His presence, He's the key. And you're going to have to be. Come to Him and be all about Him. Be all about Him in such a way, just saying, hey, Lord, I'm yours. I depend on you. I believe in you, and I yield to you. And whatever you want, Lord, and if you do that, watch what happens. He manifests Himself more and more in your life, that your life would be more of all about Him. But if we don't, then we're choosing the other route, where it becomes less and less about Him. And I believe that this can be individually, corporately as a family, corporately as a home, corporately as a church, corporately as a country. It can be that way. That we yield ourselves more to Him. Lord, this is your country. Lord, this is your, we need you more in this country, Lord. Lord, this is your home. This is your family. Lord, this is your marriage. Lord, these are your children. Lord, we need you more, Lord. And we welcome you. It's all about you. We want you more and more. I'm talking about getting fanatical about it. Because as you do that, He releases more grace and more grace. Not so we can sin or, oh, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, Forgive my foul language, but God understands because I have grace. You see the other route? That's the other route. That, well, we have grace. I have grace. I've got grace. That wasn't the intention. It's not a free card, a free sin card. Let me just show it to you real quick. Here it is. It's my free sin card. See it? Okay. And I'm okay now. And so it's okay. If I do this or if I do that, it's okay. Since when? We still have to ask the Lord to forgive us. So with His grace, He empowers us to live for Him. All right, here we go. Again, and there are those words again. I just wanted to bring them out one more time in that PowerPoint, but there are three key words to applying grace to our daily walk, and they are believe, and they are humble, and they are yield. And grace gives us the empowerment that we need in that new nature. It's that filling up that tank again, if you will, okay? We wherever you do it, if it's at Walmart or Kroger's or wherever you do it, you got to get that gas, you got to get it in your tank. Well, go to Jesus. Go to the Lord. Go get it from Him. And Lord, my tank is feeling a little empty now. Well, let me tell you, every morning when you get up, you need to be getting a fill-up. Getting a fill-up so you get ready to go for your day. Don't let it catch you stranded on the... And I know what that feels like. When you feel stranded and you feel empty, help me out, somebody. I've been there. I know what it is. Stranded and empty and you're looking for a fill-up. And you've got to gauge it and you've got to get a fill-up. And it's that grace that empowers us. All right? Look, C.S. Lewis, be ye perfect is not a command to do the impossible. God is going to make us into creatures that can obey that command. He can lead us into that. The grace that saves, the grace that forgives, the grace that delivers, the grace that is free, but it also changes us in receiving from Him. So we can feel more empowered. I can easily interchange that word grace scripturally and even with Strong's concordance with the word favor. Favor. He favors us. He favors us. When Maria comes in the morning, we pray. Every morning when she's leaving, favor, favor. Go with favor, favor. And I take it. I receive it. Thank you. Thank you. And God's favor with you as well, because it's real. Amen? So I want you to be ready. Next week we're going to have a special speaker that's going to come, and he's going to be with us. He's a missionary. His name is Travis Moffett. I want you to be ready, because this coming Wednesday, we are entering into another 40-day prayer and fasting. Okay? Let the Lord speak to your heart what kind of a fast you need to do, all right? But this is going to lead us to the 40 days to Holy Week, where we're focusing on the Lord. You know why fasting helps so much? It helps us to get back on discipline in our lives. It really does. And it helps us because as you get to fasting and focusing more on the Lord, you become more alert. You become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You become more sensitive to hearing His voice. But to pick something, it might be the Lord will lead you fast soft drinks for 40 days, or fast sweet for 40 days, or just go after something and do it as unto the Lord. All right? And he may choose Facebook. Get off the Facebook for 40 days. Could happen. But let the Lord show you, let the Lord speak to your heart, and that's going to start this Wednesday, okay? And let's go for it corporately. That we'll say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Let me ask you a question right now. How many of you are hungry for Jesus? That's a yes or no. And that could be, well, you know, I mean, I can take it or leave it. Or I'm kind of middle. If it's middle, you're not hungry. If you take it or leave it, you're not hungry. You're either hungry or not. I'm hungry for Jesus. I long for Jesus. I thirst for Jesus. I yearn for Jesus. I told that Dr. O when she came and she gave us a report about Stephanie and how it all went. I said, you do your work as unto the Lord, don't you? And she said, yes, it's my worship. And I prayed for her. And I prayed for her just realizing, because she prayed for my daughter, after she finished talking to us, can I pray for you? And she, please pray for me. And I prayed for her. And I acknowledged her about how her practice is her worship unto the Lord. It is. Everything we do, we can do as unto the Lord. Invite the Lord Jesus. Invite him. Let's just do that right now as a church. As we stand here, you're seated, and we're right here in his presence. And every one of us in different places of our lives, God doing different things in each one of us, every one of us, going through challenges, going through victories, going through difficulties, going through triumphs, whatever it is, everyone's going through something. And even in the midst of all that, we still need Jesus. We need you, Lord, in every area. We need you. And we're hungry for you. Lord, as we're at this very first day of the week, we give you this week. It's Sunday. We give you this week. We don't wait for Monday, Lord. Monday's not the beginning. Today is the beginning. We give you this week. And we declare you're the Lord over this week. And whatever you want, whatever you desire, we want to follow after you. But Lord, let your grace come. Empower us with your grace. Lord, that we would sense the ability. We would sense the capacity. We would sense the strengthening in our lives to live for you. That you begin to fill us with exuberant joy. You begin to fill us, oh God, with joy, the peace that surpasses all understanding, oh Lord. You begin to fill us with your fruit that it just begins to take over in our lives. And the empowering of your spirit in us, oh Lord, to be a witness that we must follow you. Lord, when we read those scriptures in the New Testament about being holy, being set apart unto you, Lord, we hear that, we receive that, and we thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to realize again, we can only do this through you. Not of ourselves, but through you. So, Lord, we do. We believe and we depend and we yield. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, God. Now, just spend a moment right there. It's just a moment. In the stillness and the quietness of this room, of just expressing your love to him, just telling him, God, I need you. I love you and I want to know you more and more. In the very depths of my heart, I want to know you. Not just superficially, not just at a shallow level, but in the depths of my heart. I want to know you more. I want to experience you more. And I'm hungry for you, Lord. Let me experience you, God, any moment of the day that you choose, Lord. I want to experience you more. I give myself to you. Let my life be more about you, God. Because without you, there is no life. It's because of you that I have life. Let the love that flows through my heart, let it be all about you, because without you, I don't know what love is. And I need your love. You see, you're just yielding yourself to him. If you feel the liberty to do it, just lift up your hands and just yielding to the Lord. You know, whenever a thief or a robber, they stick a gun in your back or whatever, the immediate response, you just pick up your hands because you say, I surrender, I give up. Well, here we are. God, he's not a thief or a robber. He's your king. He's your Lord. And we just lift our hands to him and we say, I give myself to you, Lord. I give myself to you. And oh, how I need you, Lord. How I need you, Lord Jesus. Debbie, come on up and just pray a prayer for the people this morning as we're just standing and yielding. You can remain seated where you are. But come on up and just lead in a prayer as they're believing and depending and yielding.
Father, we're just reminded this morning, Lord, that we're nothing without you. We have no hope. We have no desires. We have no dreams without you, God. But with you, when we're yielded to you, Lord, when we believe you, when we trust you, Lord, we have hope. And we have dreams. And we have desires. And Father, just in Sunday school this morning, just listening to the needs of the ladies, Father, and the hurts, God, and so many people, Lord, that are here today, God, that are just hurting, God, whether it be that they've, you know, whatever it is, sickness, lost a loved one, lost the life the way they knew it. Lord, maybe they've lost a spouse to death or divorce or whatever, God. Just so many hurts here. Sickness, God, just so much. But I thank you, Lord, this morning that we can trust you, Lord. We trust you, Father, and we believe you. You are a God who has never, ever failed us, Lord. And you seem to pave the ways for us when we go through things. And a lot of the stuff we go through is attacks, and some of it's just life. And some of it is stuff that we go through that makes us trust you more, Lord, and makes us realize how faithful you are. And so we yield to you this morning, God, and we say to you, God, we trust you. And no matter what, we trust you, Lord, and we believe that you are going to work things out and take care of us, Lord, and we give you glory for that. And just as a church this morning, we just say we trust you. That's just when it's all said and done, that's what it boils down to, Lord. We trust you. You are a mighty God, and you love your children, and we trust you. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
For each person that says, I want that grace. I want that grace to empower me for that ability, for that capacity, for that strengthening, to live the life he wants me to live, to live the life he wants. I want that grace. If that's you, I just want to invite you, just with me right now, just to lift your hands up with me. And let this be like, as you're lifting up your hands, just like a vessel that you're getting ready to receive from him, like a receptacle, just by faith, just saying, I want it. Lord, I need it. I need it from you. Let it come forth. And can I tell you, even as you do that and you come to him, he doesn't turn you away. He wants to bring it to you. He wants to bring it to our lives, even more than what we want it. So Lord, you see us here before you, God. And Lord, we make ourselves a receptacle, ready to receive. Lord, give us another fill up right now, God. And let it not be just a one time, let it be a continual thing, day to day, moment by moment. Lord, fill me up again, Lord. And give us the ability, give us the capacity, give us the strengthening, Lord, to live those lives that are pleasing to you. We can't do it on our own, Lord, but we need you to do it. So we receive it from you, God. And you remember how we started? We just said, I welcome change. I welcome change. So something different is coming. Don't let it scare you off. Something different is coming. Well, let it come, because he's there with you, ready to step through it, to move through it. And Lord, we receive it. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.